the last result we have seen last time was the fact that normal matrices can be diagonalizable. Unitary transformations. We used the Schur canonical form as a consequence. Most frequent normal matrices we meet usually in applications are Hermitians and unitary themselves. So these two classes of matrices can be transformed into diagonal form by unitary transformations. Let us turn to other classes of matrices we defined two lessons ago. One of these classes was the class of the Hermitian positive definite matrices. For these matrices, we gave only the definition, which consisted in requiring that the associated quadratic form for the matrix A in object had positive, non-negative, strictly positive, values for any non-zero vector x. Now we are able, by using eigenvalues and diagonalizability, are able to give easier characterizations of this class of matrices. In the order which will be followed, we will see that A is Hermitian positive definite if and only if its eigenvalues are positive. All principal minors are also definite positive. This is a simple condition. The third condition that is the most effective is that requires that all leading, we will specify what leading means now, all leading principal minors have positive determinants. From the first point, regards eigenvalues, so we consider the equation let us suppose that A is definite positive. And multiply both members, both sides, by X emission. On the left, we have a quadratic form. The matrix is positive definite. X is an eigenvector, so X is non-zero. We know that the left side is a positive real number. So the right side too must be a positive real number. That is, lambda multiplied by this scalar product. You recognize immediately that it is the square of the two norm of the eigenvector. The conclusion is that lambda is positive. We know since A is Hermitian that lambda is anyway a real number. So we have only to prove that lambda is strictly positive. The condition is necessary and sufficient. Let me write here. So now we suppose that all eigenvalues are, besides real, positive. We conclude the proof of the first point. We number the eigenvalues with the index I from 1 to n. We want to show that the quadratic form has only positive values for any x not zero. Well, matrix A is a Hermitian, so it is expressible as U by D diagonal by U Hermitian, where U is unitary. We have just seen this result. The sure canonical form of an Hermitian matrix in general of a normal matrix is diagonal. So we can write X Hermitian, U, D, U Hermitian, X. You see here the vector Y defined as the product of U Hermitian by X on the left the same vector conjugated and transposed appears. So the quadratic form can be written in terms of the diagonal matrix. Well, can the vector y be zero? We have just defined y as the Hermitian by x. X is non-zero. It is a diagonal matrix. Whose principal entries are the positive eigenvalues. In particular, this is true, the definition was U Hermitian by X. U is a unitary, so it is in it has maximum rank. You can see. You can write. So if x is non-zero, also y is non-zero. In other terms, if y is zero, x. Would be zero itself. So both x and y are non-zero vectors. We can write again the quadratic form. If this helps you, you can see, as usual, the quadratic form as the product of a row vector, a square matrix, and a column vector. In this case, the matrix is diagonal. So when you perform, you express, you expand the product, you have simply the sum of these terms. In general, if you expand this product, you have n squared terms summed. If the matrix is sparse, in this case it's diagonal, you have a few terms. Only n terms of this form. We know also that these are the squares of the moduli of the entries of y. What is the goal? What we want to see, to prove? That this quantity is the quadratic form, is strictly positive. This is true, because all these numbers are positive by assumption, and these are moduli. There is a case, only one case, in which this sum would make zero. It would be the case of when the vector y is zero, but this is not possible. We have shown that y is non-zero vector. So at least one of these numbers, one of these moduli, is different from zero. All these numbers are strictly positive, so this sum gives a strictly positive value. Well, this is a strong property. You can see this characterization in terms of eigenvalues in a similar way. As the other characterizations for other class of matrices. So, two lessons ago we saw that for unitary, the eigenvalues have modulus 1. For Hermitian, we recall it without proving it, but it is well known that the Hermitian matrix has. Real values. For Hermitian positive definite, if the eigenvalues real and strictly positive. If we change the sign of the quadratic form, if we consider, I mean, negative, definite, semi, positive, semi-definite, negative, semi-definite, the sign, so this inequality changes in all the possible forms. If we consider negative definite, we have strictly less than zero, and so on. The second condition is quite immediate. Second condition says one implication is obvious. I wrote the principle minus R positive definite 2. Well, the principal minus R, if you don't know, are the submatrices or blocks obtained by cancelling dropping rows and columns having the same indices. So if I have a square matrix of all the five, if I cancel rows 1, 3, and 4, and columns with the same indices 5 instead of 4, only 4 entries are left, which form a 2x2 square submatrix, whose evident property is the fact that it is lying along the main diagonal. So the principal minus can be seen also as all the submatrices of all the square submatrices of order k from 1 up to n lying with their diagonal along the main diagonal of the matrix. This is formed in the example, in the picture, by the four entries 2, 2, 2, 4, 4, 2, 4, 4. A particular minor principle minor of order two. The matrix, the wool matrix, the complete matrix itself is a principal minor, is the unique principal minor of order n. So when I state that the principal minor are positive definite, this is obvious because among the principal minors there is the matrix itself. In the other implication, if the matrix is positive definite, all the proper principal minors are positive definite, it's simple to prove, since just consider, so we want to show that V is positive definite, all principal minors are positive definite. Let us consider for simplicity a principal minor formed by contiguous rows and columns. For instance, by two principal minor formed by rows and columns 2 and 3. Let us denote it by B. We want to see that B is positive definite. The quadratic form related to B is involved. I want to see that this is positive for any z non-zero. But this is a 2 by 2, so also the vector z is a 2 vector, a 2 sized vector. But I can also see this number as obtained as the product of this vector, which is long 4, as size 4, constructed using the two-sized vector z Hermitian with a 0 at the beginning and a 0 at the end. We can say that Z also this in the column form, we can say that Z is embedded in a vector of larger size. We add zero entries. If you give a look to the effect of this product, this zero entries multiply rows by the side and columns who don't form the submatrix B. What is the advantage of seeing this number as obtained in this form? That the last form, the second form, is a quadratic form related to A, and we know that A is positive definite, so this must be positive. This is clear as a simple consequence, since the principal entries of a matrix are principal minors of order 1. They must be definite positive. positive definite, which in the case of a one-by-one matrix means simply positive. Consequence, if A is positive definite, its diagonal entries must be all strictly positive. This is not sufficient, but it is a test that can be easily done on a matrix to see if it is not positive. The last, and as I said, condition, as I said, the most effective regards the leading principal manuals, which are required to have positive determinants. Why this condition looks more effective than the other two? Because the other two conditions, first, in order to apply the first condition, I have to know all the eigenvalues. This is an exceptional situation. Generally, I don't know the eigenvalues. The eigenvalues of the matrix often is the goal, the final result of complicated computations. The second condition is used only in the other negative sense. It's used to see if a metric is not positive definite by checking, for instance, the main entries or principal manuals of small order. The third condition, this condition require a computation of the determinants of particular principal manuals, the leading principal manuals, as you probably know, form a subset of all principal manuals. Which subset? The principal manuals obtained by dropping last rows and columns. So, the leading principal manual of order 1 is simply A sub 1 1. The principal manual of order 2 is this, the first two rows and the first two columns, the sections, and so on. So these minors are n. So the cost, the computational cost required by applying this third condition is the cost of the computation of n determinants, which is a high cost, but for now is the only tool that we have found in order to check if a matrix, if a Hermitian matrix is or not positive definite. This condition the necessity of this condition is immediate. I mean, if I suppose, I assume that A is positive definite. I want to see that. Let us give a name to this minus. A sub k. Why all these determinants are positive? Since each leading principal minor is Hermitian and positive definite too, as we have seen in the second condition. But for being a positive definite, its eigenvalues, right, of this submatrix are positive for the first condition. Matrix is positive definite if and only if is its eigenvalues are positive. But we we remember also that the determinant of any matrix is the product of its eigenvalues. If we call this eigenvalues with mu, the determinant of this leading principal minor is the product of strictly positive numbers, so it must be positive. But necessity is easy to see, to prove. The sufficiency so we know that. Questions? The sufficiency. We start from knowing that O all these determinants are positive. We want to see that the matrix A is positive definite. Among these matrices, there is also A, so we know also that the last leading principal minor, which is coincides with A, is positive. This is the product of the eigenvalues. But it seems possible that the product is possible with some negative factors. This is possible. If I have two numbers negative, I perform the product and the product is positive. So I cannot immediately state that from the sign of the product all the factors are positive number. The matter is a little bit complicated. The proof, you find the proof in the second chapter. Can be done by, as usual in these cases, by induction on the order of the matrix. We start from matrix one by one, all it's clear in this case, all it's trivial, there is nothing to prove. We have that the determinant of this 1 by 1 matrix is positive, which means that this number is positive, which is the same thing to say this A is positive definite. So let us consider the generic case n larger than 1 with the induction assumption. That is, the sufficiency condition is true for smaller sizes. The thesis, the goal, is the positive definiteness of A. This is the same thing by condition 1. All its eigenvalues are positive. Let us suppose that this is not true. So we assume there are m integer larger or equal than 2, even number, eigenvalues, lambda, negative. From this assumption, we will derive a contradiction. Well, A is diagonalizable since it is a Hermitian. This means we can write it as U, unitary, D, diagonal, as before. The diagonal matrix D is made with all the eigenvalues. For the purposes of the proof, we search two vectors, x and y, such that the following strange thing happened. The Hermitian of U multiplied by x, the result y, with the vector x having the last entry 0, and the vector y having the last n minus n entries 0. Let us note the subvector formed by the first n minus 1 entries of x with an x sub 1, and analogously this subvector with y sub 1. So we can rewrite this equation considering the matrix your mission partitioned in this way according to the two partitionings of X and Y. I mean, V has M rows and N minus one columns, W has N minus N rows and N minus one columns. This is the last column. We have the two vectors partitioned in this way. We can read again this equation in terms of blocks, sub matrices, and sub vectors. First row by Micron, you have V by X sub 1 gives the subvector Y sub 1, and W by again X 1. So these two vectors, these two vectors exist if these two conditions, these two equations are satisfied. Let us start from the second. Given this sum matrix W, can I find these vectors such the result is zero? The answer is yes, and the reason is simple, because the matrix W is rectangular in the sense that its rows are less than columns. I mean, you can see this here. N minus M is strictly larger than N minus 1. Why? Because M is strictly larger than 1. M is even, and its minimum value is 2. So, it is always possible, if I have a rectangular matrix in the sense that the rows are less than columns, find a vector in this case. It is the same thing than stating that the columns of W are linearly dependent. This is true. So this is a linear zero, a linear combination, a zero linear combination of the columns of W with X sub 1 different from zero. So there are generally infinitely many solutions of this equation. I choose one of the solution. I substitute in the first equation, and then I obtain the first vector. Observe also that the vector y is different from 0 to 2. Because if this vector were different from zero, we would have a linear dependence of the columns of the first n minus one columns of the matrix U Hermitian, which is a unitary matrix, so its rank is maximum. So let us resume. This is a trick. This is the proof is somewhat artificial. We have found two special vectors such that with this structure, such that the first is transformed by U Hermitian into the second. How can we do these two special vectors in the study of the sign of the quadratic form related to A.
We consider
We consider the quadratic form with the vector x we have found in this way. Replace A with U, B. And let us use the fact that this product makes the vector y that is that has this structure. And here I have y Hermitian. Observe that in the last positions, in the last entries of y are of zero for construction. Here we have the diagonal matrix. And at last we have the vector y. It is not restrictive to suppose that the n negative eigenvalues are in the first positions. Lambda sub 1. This is not true in general, but it is always possible to reorder the values and the columns of U in such a way that this condition is verified. Now we exploit the zeros in the last position and obtain that the value of this quadratic form, it is a situation analogous to the quadratic form we have expanded in the proof of the first condition. We have only m terms having the form lambda sub I y conjugated sub I by y sub I. These are squares of moduli. These are all negative, strictly negative. At least one of these entries is non-zero, so this value is strictly negative. We need to see a contradiction. With what? With the assumption with the induction assumption. Remember that this is an induction proof. So at some point we have to find a matrix of size n minus 1 by n minus 1. Indeed, this quadratic form was given by this product. But if we don't replace A by its canonical form, we have a vector it's with a zero in the last position. So this value is the same that we obtain considering the leading principle minor of size n minus 1 and the vector x sub 1. But for this size, the by the induction assumption, this leading principle minor is definitely positive. So this quadratic form must have positive value. So we have a contradiction. So it is not possible to have an even number of strictly negative values. Well, this is the last, I guess, condition that we consider we can find some numerical example, but I don't sketch them on the blackboard. You will find 3x3 matrices omission with some of these conditions applied to it in order to see if it is positive definite or not. Okay, let us break for 10 minutes, and in the second part I will give you the last notions about eigenvalues and their localization useful for the following topics of the course. Okay. Questions?